Morning.
Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
I want to extend a welcome to Normia, visiting, well, you're living in Leicester now, but you originate from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And you're in the, she said you've been looking for the Church of Christ. I'm glad you found us.
Yes.
We want to welcome you, and on behalf of the congregation, you know, we're glad that you are here with us today.
Amen.
Amen. Also, Beth and Elizabeth. Beth was a traveller with Millie in Tanzania. So the two of them were roaming Tanzania together, and Beth is here with her mother Elizabeth. They're visiting with us today. They live in Bedford. The first time Millie met Beth was at the airport, so they travelled on the plane together, and from what I understand, the two of them were worshipping together on the beach, which is pretty good for two young ladies, and I think that says a lot. So we're very proud of you. We want to welcome you here. We have a bit of a tradition here. I hope you don't mind. I know we're going on about traditions this morning, but one of the things this congregation always does is we like to give our visitors a Bible. And whether you've got one or not, we give you the Bible. If you've got one, then you can hand it to whoever you like. But this is a gift on behalf of the congregation. Yeah, Emmanuel, if you would. And there's also a leaflet in there. Just tells you a bit about the congregation as well. But we just want you to take that with the love of this congregation. I can't think of a better thing to give to anyone than something like that. So we're thankful that you're here, and we welcome you. Find the glasses, because I'm going to need them. Getting an old man now. See? Find the glasses now. But anyway, we give God glory. It's great to be here. It really is. You know, I understood, you know, when Jesus was at the well at Sychar in Samaria, do you remember he sent the disciples away to get food, and they came back and they said to him, oh, you know, they said, we've got the food, and he said, it's okay, I've eaten. And what he was talking about, of course, was that he'd had the spiritual feast, because he'd been teaching this lady at the well about salvation. And he taught this message, and he was so excited about what had happened that he'd had his fill. Well, I kind of felt like that after class this morning. I know how he felt now when he says, I've had my fill, because, you know, the class is wonderful. And let me encourage you, if you haven't been able to attend, if you can possibly join us, you'll really be blessed from it, for sure. It is a wonderful class. And for those who are visiting as well, we also have access to this stuff, so we can pass on the classes to you. We also have a website that the lessons go on, so you know, we'll be happy to share anything that we have. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. It comes out of His Word, and we would love we want everyone to have access to that. And for you as a congregational, share it. Let people hear it. Let people hear the message that we have. Passage of scripture this morning. I just want to look just for a short time. I'm going to touch on this. I wasn't planning on using this passage of scripture, and then after Brother Gary's class this morning, I thought I'm just going to put this passage in there. We spoke on this the other week, so I'm not going to do a lesson on it, but I just want to touch a few points on it. It's in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 57. And as I say, we touched on this the other week, but I just want to refer to this again. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Now, in some of the headings, it might give you a heading, the cost of discipleship. And I love this passage, but I'm not, as I say, we're just going to skim over this. It says that, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And as we said in the other week, you know, often in life, we'll say that, I will do whatever the Lord asks, I'll be there. We don't always read the small print, do we, or get the facts and find out a little bit about what he's talking about. Jesus said to him, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, you want to follow me? I haven't even got a house. I don't even have a place of residence. I just travel around, you know. So you follow me, great, but be prepared. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And then he said to another, so this is Jesus now saying to another person, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. And you think that's a bit harsh, but in fact, he's teaching a lesson. And what he's saying is, he's saying the priorities. That's the lesson that he's trying to teach. What are the priorities in your life? He says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. What is more important? The kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And you see, you know, what Jesus is doing is he's not trying to be harsh. He's trying to teach a lesson. He's trying to say that we need to look at our priorities. We need to understand our responsibilities. You see, as followers, we need to put him first. And he's not saying that the dead aren't important. He's not saying that your family are not important. He's not saying that, you know, all the things that are special in your life need to be just thrown aside. But what he's saying is you need to understand where the priorities lie. Now, have you heard the latest gossip? Have you heard it? News and misinformation goes viral, doesn't it? Like global gossip. Instantly, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, all of these things, Millie has to show me how to work. I'm hopeless. All of these things. I need my kids to help me with this technology. But listen, I get on it because I can see what's going on. I can see what my kids are up to. But you see, these things are used for gossip quite often. You know, and they're instant. And by the time gossip finally stops, if it ever does, it changes, doesn't it? You get a message and it passes around, and by the time it gets back to you, it's like Chinese whispers. You whisper and the information changes. And none of us are free from this. Either directly or indirectly. We may even gossip and not even realise we've done it, because I'm guilty. I've done it before. I've said something without thinking, and it just went off like wildfire. Everybody was talking about it. And suddenly realised, what have I done? You know, it's so easy to do that. And so, you know, some of us can do it better than others, maybe. Maybe you're the victim of gossip. Some of us are master gossipers. It could be. But listen, let me tell you something. I want to change this a little bit, because I want to talk about something that we should want to gossip about. There is something that we have. Now, following Jesus, following him, what does it mean in your life? He's talking about giving your life to him. He is my important focus. That's the focal point. You know, he talks in the passage about the plan. I remember my father grew up on a farm. And he would often talk about the ploughing. And he said you would sit on this rickety old tractor and the plough would be placed into the ground, and you would look straight ahead and you would have a post that you would fix your eyes on. And you would have to stare straight ahead and hold the tractor and stare at the post until you got to the other end, and then you turned the tractor around and then the post at the other end. And he said that he discovered that if ever you took your eye away for a few minutes, when you look back, as you look away, your steering goes, and as you look back, you're off the plough. And my grandfather would go down to his field and he'd look out and he'd say to my dad, Peter, look at that. He's not even straight. It's completely off course. And so, in our life, we have news to tell. It's good news. And it's something, but in order for us to be able to do that, we have to fix our eyes on God. We call it the gospel or the gospel. The Greek translation means good news. I like good news. Do you like good news? Good news is just the best. That's what we want. Quite often we get a lot of bad news in life. But the good news is Christianity. This is the good news central focus point of your life. In other words, you have something to talk about. Something to talk about. every single one of us should find a time in the week to tell people about what we believe in. Every one of us. It may be the most unlikeliest of persons that you speak to whose life changes. I think I told the story many years ago. I was a young man, long before I'd been to the Bible school or anything else. This young man driving a van. And I worked with this guy who sat next to me, and he swore like you could never believe. Every other sentence, swear. It was like he couldn't stop. You'd even say, well, you know, and he would still carry on day in and day out. And there was me, I'm a Christian, young man sitting there next to him, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to tell him about the Bible. He's going to laugh at me. He's going to curse me. And so I never really said anything about the Bible. I never really took the opportunity to tell him about what I heard. A little bit later, Jan and myself, we got married. We left to study. So we went into Northamptonshire, studied there for 3 years. From there, we went up to Yorkshire to work with the church for 3 years. Then we came back from there. So now all these years have gone. And we're back in our hometown, and I'm walking through the streets of Loughborough. And there in the town is this guy who used to curse with his Bible teaching the gospel. And he was standing there in the street. And you see, the point is this: do not underestimate any opportunity that you have in your life to tell someone you do not know. I remember being in East Kilbride in Scotland. I was preaching at a campaign. There was three speakers. I was one. There was two other guys. And I said, who's the third preacher? I don't know him. And they said, he's over there. He was covered in tattoos from top to bottom. Covered in them. And I looked at him and I thought, wow. And he goes, yeah, these are my scars. I can't erase them. But he said, they're my story. They're the things that I can tell people about the life that I live. But the point was this, that somebody had something to gossip to him about, and I say gossip in a different way to the worldly way. Somebody had the special news, the good news. And that is our central message. And during the next month, hopefully, God willing, each Sunday morning for 4 weeks, God willing, we're going to preach gospel sermons in here. Sunday morning. You can bring your friends. You can tell your friends. We've got some leaflets down here. Give some advice out. Bring your neighbour. Bring your family. Bring whoever you want. Bring them in. We're going to preach the gospel. We're not going to, you know, brainwash anyone. We're not going to bother with anyone. We're not going to give them a hard time. We're just going to teach the truth. Let them hear it. If they're not able to come, we'll have it on the website. You're welcome to share that with them. But we want to use our time to tell people about the good news about salvation. Now listen, no one exempt from sharing the living of the gospel. No one. I think Brother Gary and myself have said this on numerous occasions. This is not the big job, standing here. We are no different to anybody else. That's why we have the policy. We say policy, but our saying, you come through the door, you're the smallest in the room. That's what you've got to make yourself. We are just a piece of everything else that is going on here in this congregation. There's a lot of workers doing amazing work in different ways. You may be doing things quietly in your workplace or in your communities, but you have news to share. 1 Peter 3:15. Says, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves. That is why we have our classes. Our classes have a purpose. This is why we offer studies for people. You want to study, we'll study with you. You want a one-to-one study, we'll do it. You want to study, we're coming. Any time of the day, you tell us, we'll come. You want to have a Bible study, you want to learn how to do things, you want to find out things from the Bible, we will come. I promise you. There's no question in that. Because we need to be ready. We need to be able to give a defence for who we are and what we believe in. And it has to be, brethren, this is the most we've got to be through here. You know, there's no no measure greater than this. If it's not from him, it becomes the gossip of the world. But if it's from him, really, we're sharing the message of salvation. And we're teaching that it is. Now, it says sanctify, set apart, or declare holy, consecrate. This is the heart. Now, we always think of this as the heart. In our midweek classes, we've been talking about the heart that's here. You see, my heart is what gets me to think, to do things. You know, how do I handle things? Somebody's done something bad to me in the world. How am I going to deal with that? If somebody's offended me, how am I going to react? I've been outdone at the store, and they've overcharged me, and I'm furious, and I'm going to go in, and what does your heart say? What does the heart tell you to do? How do you react? How do you respond? How does the world know you are different? Because we are gossipers of the truth. In other words, the word of God is what lives in us. People have to see it. Somebody said to me, Paul, I'm not a real good teacher. Live your life as a Christian. It's the greatest sermon. Do you think Brother Gary and myself and the brothers who stand here not receive a lesson when we're standing here? A room full of people who have given us an opportunity to speak to them, and you sit there and listen with patience, expecting to hear something from the Word of God. What does that tell us? It tells us that people want to know, and people want to know the truth. And so we need to declare ourselves in this respect of sanctifying our heart, our mind. In Jude 3, there's no chapters, just one chapter, Jude, so it's verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now notice that. He says, beloved, he's talking to the church, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. Okay? Common salvation. The common salvation is the salvation and faith that has been prepared by God. In other words, it's not just general message. It's the same message. And so everything's in common. Everything is the same. He says, so I find it necessary to write you, exhorting, encouraging, building you up, trying to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. It was delivered once for all. For everybody. And so the message that we have is for everybody, including the man that sat in the van many years ago next to me. He had a right to hear that from me. But me as a young man in my early 18s, I never really understood, but I've grown over the years to understand that. Opportunities are there. That God opens doors. He's going to open doors for you to make a difference on people's lives. I don't know what those doors are. You'll find them. And that's why when he says, you'll know, I often refer to Colossians, where it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt. You see? Every opportunity. That may be somebody tomorrow morning that you sit next to on the bus. That may be one of Anthony's customers who get onto his vehicle. Or we get into Brother George's taxi, or whoever. Someone, somewhere, a door will open that God is going to open for you. And you have to look for it. And you'll miss it sometimes. I missed mine, didn't I? Somebody else was there. Somebody else was there. But I missed mine. Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, 14 says this. Now listen, if we don't tell on the common salvation of the good news to the world, this is the result. Listen to this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Notice that, the good things. This is the good message. but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who have believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you go on the YouTube lessons that I put on the YouTube, you'll see I don't put my name up there. I don't announce who I am. I just put the Churches of Christ information up there. And then I refer then to Romans, where it says about the faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, listen, I cannot save a person. I haven't got the power, I haven't got the ability, I haven't got the knowing. But the truth, the word of God, is what changes life. Now then, how shall they call on him they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Who's going to tell your neighbour? Who's going to tell the people on the bus with you tomorrow? Who's going to tell the people in your workplace, your family, your children, your relatives? Who's going to tell them? I always think back to my example of the man that I work with, and think that for every opportunity I have, I need to think about that moment that I lost. But thankfully God, he was one step ahead, of course, and he made sure that that man heard the message. The news is this. In John 3, it says, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, you know, the whole aspect of him, he wanted the world to be saved. And of course, the belief, remember, we have to put the Bible into its context of process. Okay, this isn't just saying believe. It's part of the process. I've said before, you have a bridge, and you say, do you believe that that bridge will be strong enough to take you to the other side? And you say, yes, I do. I believe. But I'm still not on the other side yet. I have to follow the process to get over to the other side of that bridge. And that is why study is important. That's why it's important that we receive the message that he believes is saved, because it acts upon the belief. That's the point. And so the Bible in its context is saying he who doesn't is condemned. Why? Because he doesn't believe, so he hasn't acted upon the situation. Because he has not believed. And so by not believing, was unable to go over to the other side. Now, we have to share the news and tell people, because people have a right to know. Your neighbours have a right to know, your friends have a right to know, and God says, I want you to go and tell them. And yet, quite often, we spend a lot of time on the gossiping pages of the internet and listening to things and looking at things. And this is the message that we have that is so important. And if we're not careful, Galatians 1 verse 6 through 9 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. We looked at that this morning, Brother Garrett, to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, there is the standard, and there is the message of other people. And so, though I would never, ever stand and condemn any human being at all, I will always measure everything against this. And if I'm talking with people in the streets about the Bible, the Word of God, and we talk about things, I refer to Scripture. I want to show them what the Bible tells me, you know, and respect them. And show them the greatest respect of where people are, and whatever wherever they are in their life. We can compare things with the Gospel. And so this is why we have the Word of God. This is why the truth is important. This is why we say, don't take our word for it. Check it. Listen, I've preached a sermon before, and I've had a brother come up and said, you misquoted the passage. Have I? And I've gone through it, and you're right, I did. I misquoted it. You see, we have to be careful. And so it's very important that we check the Scriptures and the teachings, and making sure that the information we are getting is correct. And that is why the gossiping that we do is not the worldly gossiping. We talk about the Word of God and share the message and allow the world to see. Otherwise, what happens is we get division. You know, where does division come from? Division comes from different opinions. How do we resolve that? We go to the standard. This was even in the workplace many years ago when I was in the transport business. You know, there were times when we'd have conflict in our opinion of how things should be done. And so eventually one of the directors will go out and he'll fetch out the book. It was the procedure book. And it got all the procedures in it. And we would go through it and that would be the standard. That is being signed by the man who owns the business. That's my standard. And so no matter what his opinion is and my opinion is, we come together on the standard. And that is how the word of God works. That's why we use it. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, now I plead with you brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No man, but by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there are no division among you, but that you perfectly become joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And that is what we do. And listen, there's nothing wrong with seeing things differently. That's okay. I've spent my Christian life seeing brethren, not in dispute, but in a kind of a standoff on something. Until they sat down, opened up the Bible and read it, and then they pieced together what God's standard was, and they said, ah, that's what it is. We've got it now. And there was no division. There was no conflict. There was no war. There was no hatred. There was no division. And so that is why the standard is the key. You want to know why we have so many beliefs today? It's quite often because of the fact that people are teaching different standards. We have to come together under the word of God. And I'm going to leave you with this. We talked about the believing. John 8:24 talks about believing. When we looked in Romans 10:13, he was talking about hearing. Faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? John 8:24, we believe what we hear, or we don't believe it. We either accept it or we reject it. But if we do accept it, then Acts 2:38, we repent, we turn our life around. That's what repentance is, mind change. We was talking about this in our class this morning with Brother Gary. Our mind is changing. We carry a lot of baggage. You're not going to change overnight. Don't worry about that. You know, as Brother Gary said this morning, this is a hospital full of sick people, including me. I'm not perfect. Brother Gary's not perfect. Brother George is not. We all know we're not perfect. But what happens is we turn our lives around and we're changing our mindset. I'm living in a different way now. And so I confess Christ as Lord. Acts 8 talks about confessing Christ as Lord. In other words, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that. And I'm still standing at the bridge. And I said, well, I've heard the message. You know, I believe in it. He said, you know, I'm going to turn my life around. So I'm going to face that bridge. And I'm going to go in a different direction in my life. And I'm going to confess my Saviour as Lord. And then I need to be baptised. Mark 16:16. And so I go to the water. And I give myself to him. It's symbolic, but it's important. It talks about in the Bible about Christ being buried in a tomb, and then he was raised up. We know the story, don't we? Where Christ went into the tomb, he was raised up. And the Bible says just as Christ was buried in the tomb and risen, we have to do the same. In other words, for me to be saved, I have to be buried. It's a symbolic act. It takes a few minutes to do it. But I'm buried in water and I come up out of the water. And God does his stuff. Because what he does is he gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells within me. And so the process is, I'm going over the bridge. I haven't just heard it stood there. I'm following the process and I'm going over the bridge. And passages like Revelation 2 verse 10 talking about then, trying our hardest to remain in the faith. That is the hardest bit. And we've said before, you know, a lot of people, the baptized, think it's going to be okay now. The tough bit begins. It's a journey. That is why we need each other. That's why we need each other. I need you. I do. I need every one of you. I cannot get through this journey on my own. And I know you are the same. That is our message. That's our lesson of gossiping, if you want to use the word. I'm not going to use the word gossip again, otherwise I'm going to say, Paul Hill's preaching a gossip tone. But the point is this, listen, we have got some great news. We've got a wonderful message. Over the next few weeks, God willing, we're going to come here and we're going to try and bring to life this journey. Bring it to life. Hopefully touch some hearts. Let God's word be heard. And we pray that people's lives will turn because of it. We're going to offer an invitation, if anybody would like prayers this morning, at the conclusion of the song, I'd ask you to remain standing, and following that we will have our final prayer before we end our meeting.
Shall we rise?